Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Tuesday, the 11th of February. Coming up today, we'll hear from bosses in Medway as they meet to discuss their controversial financial plans. And we'll also talk to some Kent campaigners who want more families to disconnect to reconnect as we mark Safer Internet Day. But first, taking a look at our top story today. The landlords of a village pub say the building visibly shook as a juggernaut of a lorry reversed into it twice. There are now renewed calls for a relief road to stop HGV making the same mistake. Lucy's been following this story for the podcast and she's with me now. Lucy, can you give us some background on what happened?
Yes, well, the owners of the George Inn in Leeds woke up last Sunday morning to find the B2163 had been closed without warning to repair a water leak. At around 11:30 that morning, villagers could only watch on as the lorry reversed into the pub car park so it could turn around, but then crashed into the hay barn function room, not once, but twice. Landlord Debbie Tharp told Kent Online the building visibly shook when it was hit and the driver also took out one of their CCTV cameras. They're waiting for a surveyor to confirm whether they can still use the building.
And this has sparked renewed calls for a relief road.
That's right. County Council member Gary Cook has said it highlights what many people have been saying for years, that lorry drivers ignore the signs at the Leeds Castle roundabout and travel through the village without acknowledging the weight restrictions. He's also said the weight restrictions are not enforced and there's no deterrent to drivers. Finally, he's said South East Maidstone's roads cannot cope with the extra traffic and a relief road is needed to keep traffic moving and to avoid things like this happening in the future.
Thanks, Lucy.
Kent Online News.
One person has been arrested following a police chase through Kent. The vehicle was involved in a crash with a Porsche in Ashford before being spotted in Hawkinge and was later stopped in Aylsham. 33-year-old Thomas Bull, who lives in Cherry Blossom Way in Aylsham, is facing a number of charges and will appear in court today. Three people have been charged after multiple cars were broken into in Folkestone. Cash and other items were taken from the vehicles in the Ware Bay Road and Park Farm Road areas over the weekend. Two women and one man have appeared in court. A Chatham man's appeared in court after throwing stones at two teenagers he thought killed his stepson's cat. Nigel King also attacked a police officer while being arrested for a separate offence last year. The 54-year-old from Beacon Hill will be sentenced next month. A flat in Dover that's been linked to drugs and disorder has been closed down by police. It follows reports of antisocial behaviour at the property on Maisondoo Road, as well as concerns for the welfare of a vulnerable person living there. It's closed for 3 months and anyone who goes inside without permission risks jail time. Police are trying to identify the driver of a bus who left the scene of a crash in Longfield. The vehicle collided with a car on Main Road, causing long delays yesterday evening. The driver of the car was injured and taken to hospital.
Kent Online News.
A new bill introducing counter-terror-style powers to tackle people smugglers has passed its first hurdle in the Commons. It means those suspected of organising small boat crossings could face up to 14 years in prison. During a debate in Parliament, Dover and Deal MP Mike Tapp spoke in favour of the legislation.
We do not wait for terrorists to carry out their plans before we act. We disrupt them, we intercept them, we take them down before they can do harm. We hit their networks, we seize their assets and cut off their ability to operate. And this bill gives us the power to do the same against smuggling gangsters, to stop these vile criminals before they reach our shores. It allows us to use intelligence to take actions, just as we do with terrorists. When our security services, police and the Border Security Command know what these criminals are doing, the bill means they can act immediately, not sit back and wait for another overloaded boat to capsize in our channel.
Folkestone and Hythe MP Tony Vaughan also voted in support of the reforms, but he's worried it doesn't go far enough.
The bill tackles the criminal groups which drive small boats crossing, but does not address the other dimension of the problem, which is the lack of avenues to seek asylum without making these dangerous crossings. The Home Secretary rightly said that this bill is focused on the gangs, but pre-arrival processing is an important outstanding issue. We have schemes for Ukraine, Afghanistan and Hong Kong. And we should be thinking about increasing resettlement of refugees who already have been recognised abroad, such as through the UNHCR. So I wonder whether the Minister would commit to seriously looking at a pilot system for those from specific conflict zones who have strong claims to be allowed to travel here so their claim can be fully examined on UK soil, and this would build the evidence base on this issue to inform future policy and lawmaking.
Charities have long been calling for safe and legal routes for asylum seekers. Home Secretary Yvette Cooper insists the UK has always done its bit to help those fleeing persecution. Top bosses in Medway are due to meet today to discuss their spending plans for the next financial year. It could see a hike in parking charges and sports centre memberships, with council tax also set to increase. Council leader Vince Maple says they've got to plug the budget shortfall.
We've got financial challenges. That's well documented. We're working our way through the plan to get to financial sustainability. That's meant some difficult political decisions, and that includes levels of council tax and some of the fees and charges that will be going up this year. That's not, again, easy decisions, but everybody in Medway rightfully deserve their council to have financial sustainability, and that's what we're building in as we move forward. This year's budget in particular, we're absolutely focusing on those key core issues, which are not just challenges for us in Medway, but across the country. Adult social care, children's social care, special educational needs and disabilities, and homelessness and temporary accommodation. Across England, those are big challenges, but we're prioritising those. We know they're critical to the residents of Medway, along with those day-to-day services that we know they value and appreciate.
If the proposed budget is approved by Cabinet, it'll go to full council later this month. A warning's been issued to health bosses following the death of a woman who refused to go to A&E in Margate. Dorothy Reid had a previous bad experience at the QEQM hospital, so she ignored advice to attend after suffering a blood clot. The 91-year-old died in April last year. A coroner's urging the NHS to tackle bed blocking and long waiting times. Figures from the NSPCC show their helpline made more than 1,000 referrals about parental substance misuse in the southeast last year. The stats have been released as part of Children of Alcoholics Week. Experts say the impacts of parental misuse of substance can affect children at every stage of their development. I spoke to Helen Westerman, who's from the NSPCC.
I mean, children learn by not just what we're telling them, but also what they see. And most parents and carers who drink alcohol do it in moderation, which doesn't present an increased risk of harm to their children. But it is concerning when excessive drinking impairs a parent's ability to care for their child. And a child will see that and maybe think that drinking that amount is a good idea or acceptable. So, yeah, we're giving very mixed messages to our children. On the one hand, you know, telling them to behave responsibly, but at home they're seeing something quite different. So we do know that it can lead to copying behaviour. But more importantly, it's leading to children not being looked after, maybe neglected, and experiencing all the issues that I mentioned previously.
And so what happens after a child is referred? What sort of support and things are then made available?
So when we make a referral to children's services, social services will then contact that family and get involved. That child and family might already be known to the local authority and already be receiving support. For many of the children that we are flagging to local authority, it'll be the first time that that child has come to their attention. So we're, you know, giving them a piece of the jigsaw, if you like, to paint a picture of what life is like for that child living in that family. And it is about getting in there early. So this is not about disrupting families, being that nosy neighbour, creating more issues for a family. It's about that wraparound support, getting early intervention to that family so that they can get back on track. And most parents are wanting to be the best version of themselves, aren't they? So giving support early to help a parent with alcohol or substance misuse is really what we're after.
And are there any signs that we should be looking out for if we have concerns? Are there any telltale signs that a child will demonstrate?
I mean, in a school setting, teachers may be aware if a child is missing school, coming in late, maybe uniform not quite as expected. So, you know, parents not able to get the child to school or to wash the school uniform. The child might be disruptive in class, but also could be very withdrawn, so worrying about what's happening at home. And we would urge any parent or any professional that's worried about a child to have that conversation, to be that listening ear, and refer the child if appropriate. We have our Childline service available to all children. So if they're concerned about what's happening at home, they can contact us free, confidentially, anonymously, and talk through a situation. We would say to children, it's never your fault, you're not to blame, and you can't solve this alone.
Tributes are being paid to a former Kent footballer who's died at the age of just 26. Devontae Arancibia has been described as a loving partner and devoted father. He previously played for Tunbridge Angels and Maidstone United. A fundraising page has been set up to help his family.
Kent Online News.
The impact of climate change on the coast of Swale is coming under the spotlight as part of a major new study. It's one of four areas of the UK being looked at, with local people encouraged to track how they're being affected. We're told sea levels in Swale have risen 10 centimetres in the last 35 years. Grace Connie and Parsonage is from Coasts in Mind.
The Swale estuary region, where we're going to be focusing our attention, covers the whole of the Isle of Sheppey and then ranging from the towns from Sittingbourne to Whitstable. And it has a lot of different geography and a lot of different areas within that, as you would expect. It's quite a large region. For example, the north side of the Isle of Sheppey has quite vast amounts of coastal erosion that's happening along there. But then when you compare it with areas like Whitstable, for example, there's whole different processes going along there. Some lots of salt marshes and a different type of landscape that you're considering. So a very different and a very vast areas of coastline in a very small region.
So why has Swale been chosen above sort of other areas in the UK to look out for this project?
That's a really good question. Swale has been chosen out of one of four areas, so we are also considering four other areas. When we made those decisions, it was based on previous work that we were working with Citizen. There has already been work done in Kent throughout Molar Archaeology's previous works. And one of the reasons that the Swale was identified was because not only of this great coastal landscape, but also because of the coastal change in that area as well. It's got one of the highest rates of coastal erosion in the country, which of course makes it quite challenging for the people living in those areas. But it also builds upon our existing partnerships that we've working with in that area, as well as the social needs of the areas as well, which has been also identified.
Yeah, I was reading in the press release, it says that sea levels there have gone up by 10 centimetres since 1990. That seems like a huge amount.
Yes, sea level rise, of course, is a very big problem and one that we are exploring. One of the things that we are focusing on, though, is people's experiences of how that sea level has changed and hopefully capturing that in a community archive so that we can really highlight people's experiences of how the coastline has changed over the past 100 years and making it accessible for everyone globally to look through our community archive.
Do you think sometimes climate change is something we hear being spoken about and we think maybe it's happening somewhere else, you know, it's not actually affecting us in our day-to-day lives, but this kind of coastal erosion shows that it is having an impact right here.
Of course, coastal erosion is a massive issue and something that isn't limited to the Swale estuary region. And I think one of the strengths of the Coasts in Mind project is to really take people's experiences of coastal change, of these coastal communities that are living in these coastal towns, and really highlighting it and really paying attention to it and using that information so that hopefully we could not only use that for future research, but also help demonstrate that to local policymakers.
It's hoped information gathered from community groups over the next 3 years will be used by policymakers. A former youth and sports centre in Sittingbourne that closed due to council budget cuts has been sold. New House in Chalkwell Road was one of 35 properties earmarked for closure as KCC looked to cut back on spending. The facility includes a sports hall, theatre and stage. It went for more than £760,000 at auction, £200,000 over the asking price. A pub landlord in Ashford says his trade could drop by almost half when roadworks get underway later this month. Newtown Road from the designer outlet to Mead Road is due to shut for 5 weeks for gas repairs. Gary Taylor runs the Alfred Arms and says they've been affected by three or four closures in the last couple of years. SGN say the work is essential. A signed diversion will be in place. A brother and sister have criticised a holiday let in Ramsgate, claiming it looks nothing like the pictures on the website. Jackie and Colin Yexley booked the three-bedroom house for 2 weeks at a cost of £1,300. £4. They say they arrived to find rubbish in the garden and the fridge broke 4 days into their stay. The owners blamed seagulls for the mess and say all issues were dealt with as soon as possible. It's being suggested cars are banned from Dartford High Street and there are more outside eating spaces instead. The council are looking at ways to improve safety for anyone visiting the town centre, which can be 20,000 on a busy day. They want to create pedestrian-friendly spaces and make it more shopper-friendly. A consultation is now underway. A Kent campaign group says the battle is not yet won when it comes to keeping our children safe from harmful online content. As we mark Safer Internet Day, there are claims there's not enough government regulation and measures in our schools. The focus of this year's event is on scams and how it can be easier for children and young people to fall victim. Gabrielle Grant and Amy Lawrence are from Whitstable Unplugged.
One of the ways we believe is a better way to access it is to have a communal space in your home or apartment, flat, wherever you are, and it's where your one device is, perhaps it's your iPad or your laptop, and it's open. Everyone can see what's on the screen. You know, it's not this hidden thing under the duvet, not knowing what your child's up to. It's just really open. And I think having open conversations as well with your children about, you know, the harms that they can come across. I mean, we know the harms, but they don't necessarily do. So I think having those conversations are super important.
And I think what we're increasingly seeing is that certainly with social media platforms, the algorithms are set to feed different types of content to children. So where they might start off with something relatively harmless, the next video progresses to something slightly more, you know, something that you wouldn't want your child to see. For example, we know that some of the algorithms are set that in the nighttime when children are online, they might be seeing more images of suicidal behaviours and things like that, that you definitely don't want your children to be accessing. And so, as Gabby said, having one platform which is open and you can see it in front of your family members means that you can then control and help advise what they're seeing.
We talk a lot about what children see online, as you said, inappropriate content, stuff that we really wouldn't feel comfortable showing them in an open forum. What about things like scams? Children and young people more vulnerable to romance scams and financial scams and things like that?
It's a good question. Again, I think in terms of what we stand for, it's about, again, having those open conversations. Really, we want part of our goal is to empower parents. And by doing that, having, you know, a lot of resources that they can turn to.
And I think you are right that, you know, children, I think we're all vulnerable to scams. You know, I think we've all experienced, even now, very clever emails where you think, you still have to question, is that from my bank? Is that the right person? And I think, you know, certainly when we're vulnerable, us children certainly are. And we know from scientific evidence that children's brains are not developed enough to cope with scams, to cope with so much of the content that's available on the internet. We have to be their guardians. We have to be their gatekeepers. We're advocating for delayed smartphones for children and very controlled access to the internet because they aren't mature enough to be able to cope with so much of the complexities of internets and social media.
Meanwhile, the results of a survey by Kent's Crime Commissioner shows a third of primary children and more than a quarter of secondary pupils have been bullied online.
Kent Online News.
A giant sculpture of Mars goes on display at Rochester Cathedral from today. It follows similar installations of the Moon and Earth. Philip Hesketh is the Dean of Rochester and hopes lots of families will go along.
We're really excited, actually, about the whole programme this year. And it's kicking off with this fantastic display, the latest, or rather for us, the sort of the last one in the sculptures by Luke Jerram.
How important is it to have these events taking place in the cathedral? It's such a spectacular place, but I guess if you're not a regular visitor, you perhaps don't appreciate what it's like inside. And you've welcomed so many more people, haven't you?
Oh, yes, definitely. In my time here, so over the last sort of just 20 years, the numbers have gone from just under 150,000 to 250,000 more. So it's, you know, it's meant a big increase in numbers, which has had an effect on other things as well, you know, services and general things that we do.
And what is it about these works that you find particularly captivating? I went to see the Earth there and the Moon. I mean, they're just incredible to see, aren't they?
Yeah, I think it's pretty stunning to see it in that space. And I think the thing about Rochester is that it's not a massive cathedral. It's quite an intimate space, as well as being capable of getting conveying that transcendent. And just to see it sort of held there in the nave is quite spectacular.
Is it quite thought-provoking as well? Because obviously we hear about these planets and if we're lucky enough and to look through a telescope, we can see them in the sky, but they're so far away. And then suddenly to have that image in front of you and to kind of bring it a little bit closer, it gets the mind going, doesn't it? And you do think about the heavens and things like that. Is there any thoughts that you have when you see them?
Yeah, I think particularly these ones, because they're so accurate, they use NASA maps. It just brings us up right close to things. And we realize just how vast the universe is, how small we are. But we get a sense of being able to look at it in a way that, yeah, unless you've got a telescope or something like that. But even then, it's a different experience, isn't it? Just through one eye.
Yeah, absolutely. And I believe there's music as well that accompanies this. Do you think that adds to the whole atmosphere whilst it's there in the room?
Well, I hope so, yes. I mean, certainly we had some music, again, done by this composer, who's an award-winning composer, and it was a back to the other exhibitions. And there's one for Mars as well. And so, I hope that will add to it. And, you know, we've called it, or it's been called, we're sending around war and peace, because, you know, Mars is particularly, you know, understood to be the planet of war, and so we're trying to, and the artists, and we're trying to get people to reflect on the world in which we live, really. And I mean, if people can go and light a candle at the end of the experience to think of those who are living all over our world under conditions of violence and terror. So hopefully there's that really important element to it as well.
It's been created using NASA imagery. A Kent restaurant is celebrating after being awarded a second Michelin star. Hyde & Fox near Hythe has been praised for its delicious produce, good service and highly skilled chefs. And a mystery man from Kent has won £1 million on the lottery. The prize came from a Euro Millions ticket bought on New Year's Eve. He's chosen to stay anonymous and is known only as Mr. Y. We're told he wants to buy a new house and start his own business.
Kent Online Sports.
Taking a look at football now, and it's another trip north for Gillingham tonight. They've travelled to take on top of the table Walsall in League Two. It follows the weekend's 3-0 defeat at Barrow. They are 9 games without a win. Kickoff is at 7:45. And a little bit of extra Gillingham news for you. The Gills have decided to change their match day captain. Armani Little will now lead the side on the pitch rather than Max Emma. The defender will stay as club captain though. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Blue Sky. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Kate Faulkner, all one word, at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.